All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 69 today. I'm sorry, I can't even deal with a straight face, but anyways, we'll get right into it. Today, Gwiz vs. Gable, that's the title, but we're going to get on through the entire Olympic trials, seeding at heavyweight. So, Nick Gwizdowski is the one seed. You know, I heard a lot of controversy about this, but it's been said for a while now that's how it's going to be. It was made clear before the RTC Cup when Gwiz did take a loss to Mason Paris and he took a loss to Gable Steveson that the one seed was locked before that. Just because he takes the loss doesn't get rid of that. He's a two-time world bronze medalist, you know, and that's not going to change because nobody at that weight class has an Olympic medal or has a higher world medal than two bronzes. One bronze wouldn't give him the criteria for Nick Gwizdowski since he's competing. I don't think that really matters because I think Gwiz versus Gable is going to sort itself out. And so it's pretty irrelevant here, especially because Gwiz doesn't have a bye there because he's not an Olympic medalist.
Right.
Either way, we'll say that. Gable Steveson just won NCAA title. Andrew Kohaj trophy winner is the two seed. You know, this is where I'll switch a couple things up. They have Mason Paris, NCAA finalist, two-time Big Ten finalist as the three seed. And they have Don Bradley as the four seed.
Right.
I mean, personally, I will say I would put Don Bradley at the three, Mason Paris at the four for the sole fact that there's no real criteria that puts him over there except for one placing higher to internationals because Don Bradley smacked Tanner Hall in the face.
Right.
He lost in that semifinal. Again, that is what it is at this point, but personally, I'd put Don Bradley over Mason Paris. That's, again, just pure bias. One loss, one win over Nick Gwizdowski doesn't mean anything when Don Bradley has, like, four.
Yeah.
That's all comparative because it's all on senior level. And he's been around much longer than all these guys, you know?
Yeah.
Five seed, Tony Nelson, two-time national champ from Minnesota, three-time national finalist. Did place silver at one of these tournaments that just happened. So, yep. That's pretty good. And six seed is Greg Kirkley from Penn State. I agree with the seeding. You know, I would say I would personally put him over Tony Nelson. But, again, that'd be going against my own logic because Tony Nelson's – most recent match with Greg Kirkley, he does have head-to-head criteria because he took a 3-0 win, I think was in 2019 or 2018. But this is, again, when Kirkley competed on senior level and just straight went U23s, beat Jordan Wood for the spot, won first two, swept him. One spots, I think he took a silver or gold medal at Worlds, you know. And that was, again, a Greg Kirkley that had no ACL, right?
Yeah.
We see what Kirk can do when he's healthy. He held a one-point match with Gable Steveson, who was like a 6 or 7 point favorite in that match. Number seven seed, Tanner Hall. I think this is where the weight class takes a more steep drop off. Tanner Hall, I think, is a fourth place All-American for Arizona State. Qualified for this, I think making the senior national finals or something like that. I think the bid was. Yeah. You know, I think – no, he didn't qualify for that, actually. He made through the last chance qualifier. So, yes. He tagged Jordan Wood 11-0 in the finals, locked up a couple guns, took him over. Right. I was saying I don't think he makes it too far in this for the sole fact that he is – he doesn't have enough offense, right? And he's going to get a lot of passivity calls on him just against these guys who's matched up with. Because for sure, he's going to have Gable Steveson. I'm going to assume that he will give Gable Steveson a little bit of trouble, just stall the match out a little bit. But I still think it's a tech in the first period. Possibly under a minute, right? I don't think Gable's transitional offense is going to work too well on him. You know, Gable obviously doesn't have as good as parterre offense as a guy like Nick Gwizdowski, right? Or Greg Kirkley, for that matter. All right, 8 seed is going to be Garrett Ryan, Columbia alumni. I'm actually unsure of how he qualified, but he did. He's there. Pulls Jordan Wood than Nick Gwizdowski first round. You know, not the best draw. You know, a guy I think is more happy just to compete at this level, which is good for him again. But I think this is, you know, guys just happy to make the Olympic trials. Honestly, like, I'm saying that like that's nothing. It's huge. But is he in the conversation for a spot? Not really at this point, right? 9 seed, Jordan Wood. This is one I really want to talk about. Did not place in nationals. Lost in the round of 16 to Wyatt Hendrickson from Air Force. And he's now into Olympic trials. That just goes to show the depth. You know, that may have also been a factor for Gable getting the Kohaj.
Yeah.
That just shows how deep the weight class was. You never see a guy who doesn't place in nationals, like assume they're in college, a guy that doesn't place in nationals getting a bid to Olympic trials. Like, that shit just doesn't happen. Keep in mind, Brandon Courtney didn't qualify for Olympic trials. Now, obviously, Spencer Lee does because every national champ gets a bid, right? Spencer Lee, I think, would have been pretty decently a lower seed, just corner criteria. If they had him in one seed, that's absolute bullshit because he didn't do anything to deserve that. I think he beat Vito and he beat Nato, so he'd be above them too. I think he's Sirianni saw his criteria on the freestyle scene. Unless they take the folk style criteria from 3 years ago national finals, which I don't think will matter because Sirianni already has a couple medals at these events.
Yeah.
I'm talking really fast, but like there's a lot to talk about. So no, even with all this being said too, like a first place finisher, a second place finisher, a fourth place finisher, a seventh place finisher, and around a 16 guy all made the Olympic trials.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, it's really the folk style, that, the top wrestling that kind of booted Kirkley there. I think Kirkley was number five. I don't think anybody really argues that. You know, I think he mops the floor with Gremmel and beats Hilger again. Schultz impressed a lot, you know, wrote him out. That's essentially what happened, you know. And again, who's the one guy bigger than Colton Schultz? Tony Cassiope wrote him out. Now, Schultz's hand fighting is going to take him far in Greco, and that's going to be very interesting to see because I think we will go over that bracket. But I don't think there's much to talk about again except for Colton Schultz versus Duncan, which will be a video of his own in the future. But Jordan Wood is 19th in the bracket. That literally speaks to the depth of this weight class. I remember I saw one guy just say 125 is always harder because everybody sees his weight class. No. They're literally out here like lightweight dudes cursing him out because that's just so biased and arrogant of a take, just like uneducated, just to say something like that. Because again, 125 has won the least amount of pod trophies ever. I'm pretty sure.
Right.
Maybe tied for lowest now because they have two. Before, especially, was the first ever winner at 125.
Yeah.
Heavyweight has the most again, or tied for the most at 165. We had the most again, and then, you know, generational talents, Jordan Burroughs and David Taylor show up at 165. And Kyle Dake, too, I think, won his senior year if he didn't take a loss earlier, right? No, that's cool. Just cool things to think of because people just kind of say, especially, oh, he's much more dominant. He really wasn't much more dominant.
Yeah.
He was like he was a little bit more dominant. Yeah, I'll give that to him. But how much harder
games his weight class were,
that easily overruled it and much more at that. Like, it's not like that hurt him a little bit. That brought him down from, like, up here. Gable's down here. That brought him, like, all the way back down. Just that strength of schedule alone. Right? But now it's getting to the Olympic trials. So, round of 16, I'm pretty sure that's how it works because, like, Wiz doesn't have any buys. It's going to be Garrett Ryan versus Jordan Wood right here. So, I think, again, Jordan Wood's, again, a guy who's held nice matches with Mason Paris. But Mason Paris did take him at the RTC Cup. And I will say that, again, Mason Paris at the RTC Cup was the best version of Mason Paris I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That Mason Paris on that day may have beaten Gable Stevenson.
Probably, yeah.
And I will say this, like, I get like, oh, you're hitting on Gable, all that bullshit like that, but all I said was Mason Paris had a more impressive run at the RTC Cup. And I said, oh, Gable should be worried now, right? And everybody's coming at me like he didn't just beat Nick Wazdowski. The fact that it was a rematch is pretty irrelevant to that, you know, again. Gable gets caught in LA, he gets tech too. Like, and I'm pretty sure anybody in the country, except for maybe Don Bradley or Tony Nelson, just based on how big they are and how experienced they are in the freestyle circuit. Right?
Yeah. Right.
Like, you think Nick Wazdowski's lace is good? Wait till you meet fucking Tago in the Olympics, dude. Like that is something else. I know people were talking about Adam Kuhn's gut wrench. Wait till you see Mihan Lopez. Like, there's always the next level to this once you get in the international scene. These are weight classes we don't rule, and we haven't ruled. Gable looks like the one maybe opportunity on the scene, depending on how he clashes styles with these guys. You know, Kazan Boy, Rakimov from Uzbekistan, 2-2 against Gable Stevenson. You know, it's not like he beat him earlier in his career. Gable won the earlier matches, and he pinned him later in his career.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was getting better at a faster rate than Gable was.
Yeah.
Right, so that just makes things even more interesting when we get there. I think Gable maybe – I think he sees a random at the Olympics too.
I think so.
If you're not a medalist. So that could essentially mean Gable could pull Taha Gould, Gino Petrosvili, first round. Yeah, we can either pull the biggest upset of the tournament or that, you know. You know, that's assuming the favorite right now, Gable Stevenson, is going to win the tournament because we don't know yet. Right?
Yeah.
I'll say this. I think the top six guys could realistically make a run at that title. Right? Yeah. Unlike any other weight class. I think if Kurt V is 100% healthy, he gets past Nelson, he gets past Bradley, and he gets past Paris. Gable and Gwiz are the two things. He can get past them. I'm not saying he will. Right?
Right.
Tony Nelson, you know, this guy who's stuck there. I don't think he goes up. Maybe he beats Don Bradley. You know, either way, I think Nick Gwizdowski beats him for his whole fight. That he's getting old. I think he's the oldest, second oldest of these guys behind Don Bradley. And, you know, when you're bigger and heavy that frame, your body wears on you a lot quicker than it does for most guys. And yes, that's just the fact of it. And we've seen it happen over and over and over again. He took down Mason Paris. I will say that's a good thing. Took him down with a quick shot, a quick high crotch too. So he can still score at that level. It just kind of looked like Mason Paris kind of bodied him. He hit him with a double, hit him with two more gut wrenches, which I really didn't expect him to be able to hit. You know, Mason Paris looks like he's hitting those part-time turns off of just pure strength too, which is absolutely insane at this level. And if he's gotten stronger and he takes Gable Stevenson down once, who knows if he could lock that up. Because Tanner Hall is a guy who's literally known for his ability to stall in parterre defense. Yeah. And he literally obliterated everything he had. No? Right. First round matchup, I'll take Jordan Wood over Garrett Ryan. I think he takes like pretty close win. I think this is real toss-up right here. But the way Garrett Ryan was performing at the America's Cup, I was watching that for a little bit. I wasn't too impressed with that. I think Jordan Wood looked like he wrestled good this tournament, right? That's Jordan Wood's a little inconsistent this season, but he looks like he's wrestling good this tournament. And if he wrestles the same way he did the last chance qualifier, you know, again, he got caught with a gut wrench, a trap arm gut against Tanner Hall, and that's as a big dude with a guy. These levels, guys can manufacture those turns, and they can do them consistently. If you get caught with that as a heavyweight, there's no way getting out of it.
Yeah.
Unless you're just that much better, so.
Yeah.
That will push him into our first quarterfinal match where he will have Nick Gwizdowski. I've said this multiple times. Jordan Wood's a guy, solid in all positions, will make you work for every single takedown. And he's done that when he wrestled Gable, when he wrestled Paris, and when he wrestled really anybody else here. You know, Tanner Hall may be the one exception. I was really surprised by that. Nick Gwizdowski, you know, I think it's going to come down to five takedowns. That's essentially. And if he catches Lace, it's over. You know, that just goes without being said. But I do think Nick Gwizdowski handles Jordan Wood in that quarterfinal match. I think Gwiz is the best game planner. And I don't think he's going to overlook Garrett Ryan or Jordan Wood, whoever makes out of that, or Don Bradley or Tony Nelson for that matter, because he knows those are guys who have all went back and forth their entire career.
Yep.
All right. So I will take Nick Gwizdowski by takefall in that match. Gable Stevenson versus Tanner Hall will be our quarterfinal match. With how good Gable is at putting up points on you when he's already put up points before, right? When she saw Gable in that Big Ten final, he didn't shoot, didn't take any real shots, or any didn't score for the first 2 minutes. Yeah. Then points came. And now that we're seeing this gas tank in a six-minute match when you have a 30-second break, Gable plays the edge very well. Against an opponent like Tanner Hall is not quick enough, athletic enough, or strong enough to hang with them. That is just the fact of the matter.
Right.
Gable will most likely tech him. You know, again, we saw Gable against Trent Hilger. Trent Hilger's not a freestyle guy. Yeah, I just saw him. The freestyle savviness take over in the Beat the Streets finals. You know, there's not that much of a talent gap between the two. It's just one's that good at freestyle, one's not, you know.
Yeah,
that's just really what that is. You know, I think Gable will tech fall him. I just say it's sub 1 minute because he's already seen Mason handle him. And Gable's transitional offense will make it probably pretty quick, right? Now we have Mason Paris versus Greg Griffith. I'm taking Mason Paris in this match. I'm taking him 6-2. Right? Kirkley has proved he can put up points. I don't think Paris can turn him, though. And Mason kind of looked a blow right through him. You know, again, I assume Kirkley could hit the splits or something out of position, which he can definitely do.
Yeah.
He just still looked injured, and he looked hurt because you saw that look on his face, and he just bailed on a bunch of shots. You know, again, spun behind and all stuff like that. He took one good shot against Mason Paris, and he completed it. He took one very good shot against Gables. Took two very good shots. One was just defended by a better opponent. One was scored.
Yeah. Yep.
That's essentially, I think he needs to learn how to pick his shots a little bit better, and he can definitely beat Mason Paris. And after he does that, you know, I don't see Gable Stevenson, Nick Gwizdowski being too far ahead of him.
Yep.
You know, I will take Mason Paris in this matchup because I just think the precedent's been set and it will probably happen again. You know, I really want Griffey to win. I'm rooting for him to win this, but I just think Paris's age will be this right now. I think Griffey needs another year and he's going to be the guy versus Gilbert Stevenson finals if he doesn't go off to WWE and if he chooses to stay.
And that's what his bloody announcement is.
But
is it out? What? No, who knows what the thing is.
I mean, you think it'd be out by now. The announcement. And it's pissing me off. Because you guys aren't going to see this till tomorrow night. It's probably already out by then. We're filming this day in advance. But, yeah, it's fucking annoying. But, quarterfinal matchup, 4 versus 5 seed. 4 versus 5 seed, typically boring matches. I love Don Bradley. It's my guy. Repping his merch right here. You know, guys supporting. He came on the podcast. But nobody else really wanted to, so... That's my guy. He's probably my favorite dude here. Probably the biggest time for a bracket buster. I think he beats Tony Nelson. He's beaten him pretty much every time he passed. He's not a guy who's going to tech fall you. If you get tech fall by Don Bradley, kind of, I don't want to say you suck. Like, that's like saying, like, if you got majored by Pat Lugo in college, you didn't genuinely suck. That was a decision to pin guy. And we saw that, right? Don Bradley's a guy who picks and chooses his shots. He wrestles like a cow dick. He's a bitch to score on. He's almost 100% on his attacks.
Yeah.
And he's smart and he manages his match extremely well. And that's why a guy like Nick Wazdowski, a guy like Kyle Dick's been so good. But then comes a freak athlete like Jordan Burroughs.
Right.
That just shows how much of a game of inches this is. Like, Jordan Burroughs' head position was maybe like an inch higher. He blows through Kyle Dick on that blast double. No, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
Got stuffed and he got chest right before. And he ultimately lost that match, and Kyle Dake's a whiny little bitch about it, so he wants to gloat about one win when you have 7 losses. But it's absolutely hilarious just to think about. I don't really care, you know. I was rooting for Isaiah Martinez.
Yeah.
That one genuinely hurt because he's, like, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, like, regardless of weight class. Like, he's one of the guys I truly love watching. Truly one of the most underappreciated wrestlers on this scene, and I've said that before. Isaiah Martinez, Alex Deringer. If you're going back to college careers, Gabe Dean too, because because Bo Nickel beat him, you know, and he got revenge. That's good. And talk about it. Dean is peaking. He looks like he's peaking. 7-2 win over Nate Jackson is fucking huge. That was 2-1 at senior nationals. Yeah. It was 5-4, 6-7 at the next event, and 7-2 now. I would have thought Nate Jackson would have won one of those matches based on how close it was, but this Gabe Dean, I don't know if anybody wants to wrestle. I think he's a 5 seed, and he has Miles Martin first round. Miles Martin would have been the finals matchup at the 195 bracket, but Gabe Dean got caught and pinned by Taylor Lujan. Pretty sure Lujan got pinned by somebody, but – and you can't underestimate Nate Jackson, dude. Nate Jackson beat Mark Hall.
Yeah.
Granted, Mark Hall also almost lost to Chris Foka, but – whatever. No, a lot of these things being said, I think there's a genuine chance that David Taylor goes down. You know how crazy that'd be? You know, my best rival, the whole Flow film, all this crap, all this winds up.
And Kyle Dake nuts. It would be the last
and David Taylor never make an Olympic team.
And David Taylor was the favorite to win by, like, a lot.
I think Gabe Dean would literally versus David Taylor was a world final level matchup. David Taylor's a guy and Kyle Dick are guys that take their preparation so seriously for matches. And if you hold a close match to them, it's not because they wrestle bad. You never see Kyle Dick wrestle bad.
Yeah.
He knows he treats his body perfectly. And same thing with David Taylor. Like they're at that level and they've done it so well and their bodies are so good shape for that exact reason. I think David Taylor has another run in him. I don't know about Kyle Dake.
Yeah.
I think my money's on Armbar if he comes back. Jordan Burroughs, last run, you know, one of the greatest wrestlers, greatest figures in the sport that we will ever see, too. Yeah. But, yeah, I think Don Bradley – I'm getting way too off topic. Don Bradley will win that quarterfinal match, I think. 2-1, 3-1. He won a 2-1 last time. Starting out, and that's really all it was. The thing that might hurt him is passivity calls. Now, I said Dom over Paris in seeding wise, but again, Dom versus Kirk Fleet, it may just be the matchup that kills him.
Yeah.
Kirk Fleet is just maybe just too fast for him. You know, if you look at Adlesson, overall speed-wise, Curry is faster wrestler. Quickness-wise, and moving change of direction is Gable. Because Curry is able to pull himself around and get in from space. Gable likes to work from the ties, and you know, obviously, it's just different styles of attacking. Curry likes to attack the ankles. Gable doesn't do that as much anymore. He'll attack below the knee, though. Right.
Yeah.
Now we get these semifinal matches. The first one's gonna be Nick Wazdowski versus Don Bradley. I've said Don Bradley's a bracket buster. He can beat Nick Wazdowski. If he wrestles good that day, he can beat Nick Wazdowski. Nick Wazdowski has another run in him. Tony Nelson, Don Bradley are gonna be gone after this.
Yeah.
Don Bradley is at his third Olympic trials. He went to the London trials, went to the Rio trials. Now he's at Tokyo. He's coming off a couple good wins. You know, he lost a match to Nick Wazdowski 3-0. Came down to one push-off point off a re-attack and one very good shot by Nick Wazdowski. Don Bradley was looking to get completely shut down his doubles. I think a couple adjustments in their scoreboard. But again, Gwiz is so good at game planning for matches.
Yeah.
Don Bradley is a match he needs to game plan for. You know, he went in some of these matches at the American Cup with an agenda, per se. You know, if you saw him against Sean Streck, he was only attacking with the right arm control ties, something like that. I think Mike Mao was commentating.
Yeah.
It was very interesting because I think Mike Mao is the only one good commentator they have that actually knows enough about the sport to actually say stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, he's, like, the one dude I genuinely like. And he commentates it so well because he actually brings up the technical aspect. All these other commentators just want to bring the entertainment aspect because I watch, like, you know, that's what you really want to see in, like, again, a company that's all wrestling, right?
Yep.
With that, I do think it's a lot closer match. I'm going to give Nick Wazdowski a one-point match there. I don't know how many points he scored.
Yeah.
I don't think he can get – I don't think he gets turned, right? I think Don Bradley can very well pull this out. People are sleeping way too hard on him, right? Then we have either Gable versus Kirk Fleet or Gable versus Paris. Gable versus Paris. I don't know how good Paris does against transitional offense.
Yeah. And
judging by his first match against Wiz, not too well. And that was not even that big of a transition. That was a guy locking up a lace after a couple seconds on the turn. Gable will be on that, grab a lace midair, and just go with it. That may just be embarrassed. I do think, again, Paris has a good enough coaching staff. And he has a good enough practice partner in Adam Kuhn to not let that happen. You know, I do think Gable handles this match. I think it's 8-6-0, possibly a tech, but it's going to be a late match tech. You know, I could be very well wrong. This Gibb could walk through him, but I don't think so based on the fact that Paris has made it closer in the second match. You know, Gable also looked to be wrestling a little bit more conservative. And obviously that's just because he has to wrestle five matches that tournament compared to the three in Big Tens.
Yeah.
And that's always going to become a factor because he has to wrestle Tanner Hall and he has to wrestle Mason Paris. You have to assume that Gable Stevenson is going to make this to the finals. I think everybody's assuming that right now. Not a lock. What I will say is if he – what he has to do to beat Nick Wazdowski in the finals is get a quick tech against Tanner Hall in under a minute and tech Mason Paris. He doesn't want to wrestle his entire 6 minutes. And those are just to keep his own gas in because the Olympic trials are wrestled in one day.
Yeah.
Five matches against these guys – are not the same thing as you beating this kid, Jer Hino, or Tegadali, whatever his name is, from Campbell, a 33 seed walks in, you know?
Yeah.
And who do you beat in the round of 16? Somebody, Wyatt Hendrickson from Air Force Tech'd him. Hendrickson's a guy I really want to talk about coming the next season if he's coming back. Dude had a fantastic tournament. He pinned Luke Luffman in the first period, too.
Yeah.
You know, he beat Greg Kirkley. Greg Kirkley gave him a match. You know, he's like, oh, wrestling nice for a friend. I doubt Gable does that. Possibly he did. It didn't look like it. It just looked like he was wrestling with respect for his athleticism, which he has to do. Again, with Nick Wazdowski too, right?
Yeah.
Those are guys you can't just charge senselessly at and expect them to bow down to you. Those are guys who know they can score. And they have.
Yeah.
Right, and then he walked through Cassiope. Cassiope's getting a guy you can charge at to an extent for the sole fact that Cassiope's mating is based on his hand fighting. And if you beat him with the hand fight, and even if you're just as athletic as him, you beat him with the hand fight, you can get the shots. Cassiope can scramble. I'm not saying anything about that, but he's scrambling on Christian Lance in a 4-0 match. he can't scramble against Gable Stevenson. Gable Stevenson finishes too quick for a guy like that, you know. If we're talking about a guy like Greg Kirkley and Nick Wisdowski, possibly they can scramble. But it's all going to come down to that in those matches. And then he beat Mason Paris in the finals. Probably wrestled one of the most conservative matches I've ever seen. You know, obviously you have the adrenaline factor in that. But Nick Wisdowski is going to be – he's a whole new beast. You know, I know he lost Mason Paris, but Gwiz makes better adjustments than any wrestler at this weight class.
Yeah.
And that has to be known. If Gable comes out there and underestimates Gwiz because he beat him once. Gwiz beat him twice before. You know, we thought because of that criteria win, Gable would blow him out of the water next time. Gwiz won again. He's consistent. He knows what he's doing. You're not going to play mind games with him. And he makes great adjustments in between matches.
Yep.
I think if that match were wrestled 10 times on that day, it would have been split 5-5.
Yeah.
The problem here, I've said it, if Nick Wisdowski takes a third match, he wins and he gets the Olympic spot. You know, people are going to call this an upset. I don't think it's an upset either way. I think it's the most even-based matchup. I think Mason Paris can make the finals too. Like, I would not be surprised. I think Greg Kerfoot can also. The only one guy I can really rule out is Tony Nelson against Nick Wisdowski, just because the sole fact that Nick Wisdowski is so good to get into Tony's legs, there's just something about it. I don't about that matchup. It's just weird. You know, Don Bradley, again, can win that. Just one blast, double, and hold him off. He's done time again. You know, obviously at the bottom three, Tanner Hall, Garrett Ryan, Jordan Wood, I would kind of rule out in this situation for that sole fact. Yep. You know, I'm trying to not be biased this one. You know, obviously I would just say Gable or Gwiz. I like Gwiz a lot, but I do think it's a lot closer of a matchup than people think, right?
Yep.
Gable Stevenson versus Nick Wisdowski now for the finals. Gable could very well come out here and tech him twice, right? I would not be surprised.
If he catches fire,
it could happen. But again, he's not a – Paris got good with being a volume shooter against Nick Wisdowski because Nick Wisdowski, he just gave him no room to breathe. And then he gave him some room to breathe, fired right back at him, and he ended up being teched, you know? And that just shows how good a Nick Wisdowski is at making adjustments like that.
Yeah.
I think Gwiz kind of got out of his own game plan there against that match, which you rarely ever see him do.
Yeah.
And that caused him to lose to Paris the second time, you know. Paris looked like he just muscled that leg lace at the end. That seems absolutely crazy to me. If he can lock that up, I see no reason why he can't turn Gable Stevenson and Nick Wisdowski again.
Yeah.
No. I do think the favor at this point will be in Nick Wisdowski's favor. I say that for sole fact that Gable has to go through Mason Paris or Greg Kerfoot.
That's a fair point.
Yep. Kerfoot's not a guy you can turn that easily. Kerfoot at Russell's he is the best coach in the country right now.
Right.
You know? And possibly the best coach of all time when all is said and done.
Yeah.
Right, so it's like, what do you think about it? Kale Sanderson has produced – people's like, oh, Kale Sanderson won't catch up to Dan Gable. You know, I know Dan Gable's again the legend, whatever that – Kale Sanderson produced four national champs in a year they were projected to have none.
Yeah, I mean.
Except for Brooks. And Brooks cut it closer than anybody else. Like, I would rather have four individual champs than team title. You know, props to Iowa, that's cool, all that, you know. Team championships are cool. By the end of the day, Rob Howard met Pat McKee when he was on fire. Bo Bartlett didn't qualify. Those two things change, maybe a different story. Yeah, and Iowa's a big favorite this year. Only won one title.
Yeah.
You know, I think championships should be maybe a little bit more, but I don't think you should be able to win four in individual titles and the other team not win more than – not win at least two and you still lose.
Yeah, I think that's kind of –
you know, it came with bonus points because, like, Ironman lost to Nick Lee. But since he pinned his way there, he got so many bonus points. Oh, Nick Lee at the trials, bro. Is he at the trials? Is Nick Lee at the trials? I will actually check Bashamania's page right now. I have no reason to think that Nick Lee won't go to the trials. Frank Molinaro's back.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mention that to you, but yeah, he's back.
Dude, these 65 seasons are insane. Jordan Oliver over James Green, I don't agree with. just based on his last performance. He swished my eyes. Joey McKenna is so big of a bracket buster here. He could beat James Green. He could beat Zane Rutherford. And Yanni said himself, he listened to, what's it called, Wrestling Changed My Life. He was talking about that.
Yeah.
He's like, Zane doesn't make mistakes. He's going to brawl with you. And Yanni knows. It's like, it all comes down to Yanni's look like he's been offensively shut down. And Zane.
Yeah.
In that last match, because Zane made so much adjustments there. He was like, people were like, oh, Yanni going to win this, that. By the time I turned the flow stream off, the match was over and everybody's just walking out the building. Like, it was absolutely like, yeah. Gable versus Gwiz. You know, Gwiz
is the big
better game planner. Gable's a better athlete. Gwiz is stronger. Gable can change directions quicker. You know, Gwiz can scramble better. Gable has the fans on the side. Gwiz is a better scrambler than anybody at this weight class. Gwiz was hitting ankle passes on Kyle Snyder.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think
like, and I've said it again, like, people act like that match wasn't close. Like, I would have stalemated that in overtime.
It's so difficult with good game planners to make picks just because they tend to have less of like a definitive style and more just like things that they're really good at, mm-hmm. but their main skill is obviously making adjustments. Yeah.
The main thing that I think could work against Gwiz here is if Gable doesn't make the finals. I think if Paris and Kirk make the finals. I know that Gwiz is game planning for Gable. He just has to be right now. Gable and Don Bradley, he knows, right? That's why they wrestled him at the America's Cup. That's why he took a lot of these matchups. If he wrestles Kirkfleet, he had the opportunity to wrestle Kirkfleet. He didn't do it. At the Wolfpack RTC versus Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. That may have been a good match to take. Currently, I wrestled Deontay Wilson. Teched him pretty quick. There's nothing much to say there. You know, Deontay Wilson, probably not the same caliber as your Currently. Crazy enough, they're only one seed apart in Nationals. To say, but I think it's going to impact his game plan a lot because Mason Paris is not a style you can predict. In the rate Mason Paris is progressing against Gwizdowsk, you never know because.
Yeah.
You know, I will also say if there was a third match wrestled, I think Mason Paris would have won that on that day.
Right.
You know, just based on the way he was wrestling, you know? If Mason Paris peaks, nobody in this bracket can beat him.
Yeah, it's
Gable Stevenson. I've never seen
like one of those days like he did at the RTC Cup.
Yeah, I've never seen Gable wrestle like out of himself, like so much better than you actually think he would be.
Yeah,
except for maybe Big Ten Finals. You know, he just looked like he had something to prove. He just looked like he was more offensive, and he kind of broke Paris a little bit more than he was wrestling that crazy. You know, wrestling case. Mm-hmm. We go up to that day that JO tech Joey McKenna in under a minute. That's like he peaked on that day.
Yeah.
You know, I think Gable Stevenson. My biggest fear is that Gable comes into this match, into this tournament, only looking for Nick Gwiazdowski and completely disregarding Mason Paris, Greg Kirkley, and Tanner Hall.
That is a real possibility.
That's the problem I see. If he does that,
he
might just get fucked.
And,
like, there's nothing else to say because we see this all the time. Like, who are the biggest locks in Nationals? Spencer and Gable. Who was the one guy who we thought was locked? Nobody really watched him, but he went down. Ryan Deacon. You know, we go back a couple years. Who were the biggest locks? Nolf and Bo. Granted, Nolf caught that close match, but he was still a lock after that. So was Bo. Who was the third guy we thought was a lock that went down?
Yeah.
Miles Martin. No, we see this happen a lot. We take these matches for granted because we were all waiting for Deacon versus Hidley, right? I said Deacon versus Carr. I got Carr right, but Hidley went out to get smacked. You know, I was arguing with this one guy. He said, it's a fluke that Hidley lost. You know, I will go as far to say it's more of a fluke that Hidley held a close match with Jason Nolf than that Hidley lost to David Carr. No, and it all comes back to if that two was given – my money's still on Nolf. Because again, we've seen Nolf pinned Isaiah Martinez. He's not like, it's not, he's nobody right now, you know? Nolf versus Chenzo first round of the Olympic trials. That's going to be a good one. And if, are you frozen right now?
Huh?
Oh, no. Dude, you were just like staring into oblivion, dude. I don't want to place a pick on this finals just yet. I will leave this up to you guys. You guys can place your picks on it. I've said it before. Please subscribe. And at 1,000 subs, we will be doing a giveaway. I'll give away a hoodie or whatever. I'm a broke college student. I can't afford much. I'm sorry. You know, if YouTube gets monetized, I'll start giving away stuff a lot more often. I have nothing to need the money for, but my brain says Gwiz. My heart says Gable. It's the same way at 65. My brain says Zane. My heart says Yanni. You know? Same thing at 57. My brain says Fix. My heart says Gilman or Seriano.
I'm pretty unanimously picking Gwiz, to be honest. I think...
I don't want to say this because every time I've picked against Gable, I've been wrong. I think Gable should win this. But the fact that Nick Wazdowski's going... Everybody is behind Gable. And fans not being there is definitely a big factor. We saw this too at the Final X. Like, literally everybody was against Gwiz. And that's – like, he gets slandered so much for absolutely no reason just because people love Gable. Because he beat a guy on criteria. Like, you beat – okay, he beat a 19-year-old on criteria twice. Okay, nobody else in that country could beat that 19-year-old at that time. You know, we were talking about the same thing against Brett Unger pitting Mason Gibson in the PA State Finals. Like, it's like, okay, you beat a 15-year-old. Nobody else in that state beat that 15-year-old. You know, Mason Gibson's going
to be very few people in the country beat that 15-year-old.
Exactly. That's what I'm going to say, you know. And Zane versus Yanni, you know, again, you know, nobody said that. Because Zane, oh, you beat a college sophomore, okay. Who else beat that dude? And Jaden Nimes just over here like, hey, what's up? You know? Again, Ironman, I think Nick Lee is the biggest wild card. So I was talking to my guy, Paul, the one episode he didn't come on. He's a huge Cornell fan. He said that Nick Lee versus Yanni in a freestyle match is like whatever, you go rock with Yanni. But in a folk style match, that would genuinely scare me. Just because of how good of a game planner he is. For matches,
that would be just a fucking incredible match all around. I'm not even gonna lie.
Nick Lee versus Yanni in folk style. I low key think Nick Lee can win that. You know, that's not even. I don't even think that's that bold of a pick. Like Joey McKenna went to overtime with him. Bryce Meredith almost beat him. You know.
Yeah.
If Yanni goes 149, I think he kind of handles Sasso because Sasso's again a guy who's. His approach isn't really going to work against Gavagnani, right?
Yeah.
That being said, I think my brain says Gwiz, my heart says Gable. That's what I'm going to leave it as.
Yeah.
I have somebody winning in the third match. That's what I would say. But anyways, thank you guys for listening. It's been episode 69. I'm sorry. I keep doing
really?
That. We talked about this before, dude. Yeah, no, Jesus I was Christ. Thinking about saying the nice line after 69. I'm sorry. Dude, this whole episode opens off with me laughing at fucking 69. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys liked it. Subscribe and like if you enjoyed. Drop ideas for future podcasts. Some stuff you want to see, you know. We're not that big of a show yet where we have like a whole agenda. So. If you guys want to see it, we'll try to make a video on it. Anyways, thank you guys for watching. Yeah. I hope you guys enjoyed. We'll see you guys again next time.
All right, peace.